Today, we hear about that third and final lesson that Jesus gives to his church. In our gospel 2 weeks ago, Jesus established the authority of the church, Jesus proclaiming Peter to be the one apostle upon whom he will build his church. This command, taken seriously by Jesus' followers, now has a succession of papal authority that can be traced all the way back to Peter. In between Pope Francis and St. Peter, the position of Pope has seen greatness and holiness beyond human direction, as well as wickedness beyond human comprehension. This condition of papal authority has led to major divisions in Christianity, including the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Anglican Church of England, and the 200-plus divisions as a consequence of the Protestant Reformation. But despite these divisions, the Roman Catholic Church has been an important influence in the history of our world since the coming of Christ. And because of our flawed human state, this historical influence has been marked by great cooperative rescues of civilization and marred by killing for which it is hard to accept any justification. Seeing the history of the Roman Catholic Church in our world, we can both marvel and wonder at our holy connection as our Christ-led institution initiated in these last three Gospels. Last week, we heard that same rock being chastised for wanting to alleviate Jesus from suffering. And in last week's exchange, Jesus warns our church to not think in human, but in divine terms. Our understanding and following the Word of God has kept Jesus as the head of our church and we as the body of Christ. And it has kept us in unity. And in unity under Jesus, we are to worship, pray, and live in community with each other. In our history, when we have lost Jesus as our head, we have lost our way. Last week's gospel also asks us something. We are asked to believe in a God who is with us, suffers with us, and walks with us all the days of our life, and importantly, dies with us as well. And we are to accept Jesus' promise that we are deeply loved and cared for, and that we are not alone, that we are each known and cherished, and most importantly, that God's love for us, a love we share through adoption, is stronger than suffering and death. Last week was revealed to us the extent of God's relationship with us. He's all in. Believing in God's promise, we as a church ask to love each other with one eye on the earth and one in heaven, to accept and forgive each other, to have compassion for those who are poor and suffering, and to love even our enemies. And we are asked to accept the pain and suffering which breaks our own hearts. Jesus asks us to look at our own pain and suffering as necessary, and in fact as a requirement for love. It is the most empty heart that can be most filled by God. It is called the mystery of the cross, that paradoxical understanding of suffering and love as the means to our salvation. Today, we hear that final piece of the story of Jesus and his church. It is love in action. Today, Jesus instructs us while it is necessary to love one another, it is not enough. We must love fully, and we must love in action. The first thing we must do is to distinguish and know right from wrong. We need to develop a well-formed conscience. What is a conscience? It is God's given sense for sin. It allows us to recognize the peace of goodness and the chaos of evil. We do this by the way we are taught in our families, at school, and here in our church community. Listening to all of our teachers, we learn, and we learn to follow the commandments. This is the law given to us, as St. Paul speaks of in our second reading. But Paul also reminds us, the law of love reigns supreme in our conscience formation. Everything we discern, we do so through the eye of love. This means always seeing our broken humanity with an eye of compassion, empathy, and forgiveness. Secondly, seeing with one eye on earth and one in heaven, we walk humbly with God. We let Him mold our souls and our hearts, and we give in to His will and subdue our own. Thirdly, we utilize the freedom we have in a well-formed conscience and walking with God to tame our own appetites. We strengthen our resolve by disciplining our desires and by fasting from trying to have it all. Finally, we ask to see Christ in all people, to live in empathy, to understand that anger frequently hides fear, and suspicion and judgment often hides a damaged ego. Empathy is seeing past the words or the emotions to the person, to their God-given dignity. It is this final seeing past which is the hardest and the cause of most of our division. When we refuse to see Christ in others, we can easily revert to individualism, where our cares, our thoughts, and our needs become the most important and often the only focus of our lives. Then a spiritual brother and sister become the other, or worse, he or she becomes an it. Then the human dignity of each person given by God becomes hidden and ignored. If we lose seeing with that one eye in the divine, and God's love is not the lens we view others, we see everything as a threat to what we possess. This, unfortunately, is the condition of our culture. Having lost a sense of dignity for each person, retreating into individual defensiveness, we assess the other not as a child of God, but just as a package of ideas. Ideas we either agree with, and then to us, that's a good person. Or ideas we abhor, and then to us, that's a bad person. Before it's too late and we destroy ourselves, we need to stop looking right or left and to start looking up or down.